you have water in
here? Okay, sheer number two in the Shiloh of the Week series. So this question comes to us as a result of the generosity of our good friend, Mr. Mark Bernstein, who is world famous in Camp Levi for his weekly fruit deliveries. And last week, as you probably saw, the fruit of the week was blueberries. And someone came to the Beis Medrash Shabbos afternoon and said, "Oh, there's a whole controversy going up on the hill with the wagon. What is a bracha you make on blueberries? Okay, is it a bari per eitz or is it a bari per adam? That's the question. Now, why would I even have this shiloh in the first place? So, think about blueberries. Blueberries don't grow on a tree, but they don't grow on the ground either. Anyone go blueberry picking ever? The Schnalls actually went blueberry picking in Vermont in the summer of 2014. I had pictures, and they will actually be helpful in helping us determine some of the halachas. Please open this up to Simon Rich Gimel Shmuel at your convenience. Okay? So let's get a little background. Okay? So Bari Pri Eitz, Bari Pri Adama, two distinct categories of brachos. We know there's a principle that when it comes to a bracha that one makes, the more specific, thank you, that the bracha is, the better. And obviously the reason for that is because if the bracha is meant to acknowledge and give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he's given us, so the more that we can be particular and the more we can acknowledge the specifics of that chesed, so the better we're discharging that obligation and the better we're being effective in thanking Hashem for what it is that he's given us. Okay? So therefore, whenever we can, we try to be very specific regarding our brachas. We don't get any more specific than ha'etz and hadam when it comes to things that grow from the ground. There is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the sixth parak of brachas, says that there's another bracha called borei mine, you don't know? Deshoim, right? Yeah, Zroim, Deshoim, Deshoim, and in the same way that when it comes to Borim and Besamim, so we can be more specific. There's Isve Besamim and Atzi Besamim, Chule. So that there's such a concept when it comes to brachos as well for things that you eat, even though we don't passing like Rabbi Huda on that specific Nakuda. Nonetheless, there is that same principle involved. The Mishnah has Lamed Hem and Alf, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Borei Mine Deshoim. We also take into account a more specific version. Rashi says, Levisha Yesh Bechal Pri Adama Deshoim Zroim, Kigon Kitnis, Rabbi Yehuda Boye Heker, Bracha Lechol Min Umin. So therefore, we can be even more specific when it comes to subdividing within Pri Ha'adama, Deshoim, Zroim, etc., in order to be to get down to the specifics of each individual min, each individual species. Okay? So we need to know what halacha parameters there are in determining what's ha'etz, what's ha'adama, and we'll use that as the springboard for our conversation. So the Torah quotes an opinion of the Ri and the Rush in Siman Reish Gimel Nor Chaim, where the first qualification that has to be met, or we'll start from the ha'adama side of things, that any plant which has to be re-sown, replanted every single year, okay? Meaning whatever comes out of the earth from that particular crop and after harvest season, everything else dies and has to be replanted. So that's for sure adam. Meaning something that does not last from year to year is for sure lacking the characteristics of a tree. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the Tur and the Mordechai bring another qualification. Okay, in defining the Borei Pri Adama, that even if at the end of the season, after the crop has been harvested, the roots are completely submerged, and whatever stem or whatever it is that comes from the roots out of the ground and is above the ground, if that has to be regenerated every year, meaning even if you don't have to replant every year, but simply the fact that the stem has to be regenerated every year, even if you're not replanting it actively, that is enough, Chayodim brings, to give it still that characteristic of Borei Pri Ha'adama. It's not a fruit from a tree. Okay, I could account Chayodim's of the opinion that if I would make a Borei Pri Ha'etz on such an article of produce, I wouldn't even be able to be the Eved. Okay? Sometimes we know that you can make a bracha on something, even if it's not exactly the right bracha, you don't make a bracha again. The easiest example of that is, let's say, shahako, because that's more encompassing, that's more expansive. So if I make a shahakal b'dievet, I don't need to make a bracha on, you know, Bari Priya 8 because it's encompassed in the shahakal. But sometimes you have a bracha where, let's say, I made the wrong bracha, like a tree fruit bracha, Bari Priya 8 on a vegetable. That's not going to work at all, right? Because the potato is not Bari Priya 8. But let's say you have something which, and some of these qualifications, hold on a second, are subject to dispute. There's some who say, for example, that as long as the shoresh, the roots in the ground, do sustain from year to year, then that's enough to take it out of the hadama category. Right? That what we just said was the way we paskin based on the Ramah from the Torah of the Mordechai is that as long as the stem has to be regenerated, it's hadama. There's some who say that no, even the stem has to be regenerated, but the roots remain in the ground and can regrow the next year. That's already ha'eitz, right? So you would say, hey, it's a suffix brachas lahakel, right? Because some say this is ha'eitz, some say this is a hadama. So if I make a bracha on such a fruit and I say ha'eitz, you'd say b'dieved yer yotze, right? The chayadim says no. We have so much tipped the scales in favor of the opinion that says that this is still a vegetable if the stem has to be regenerated, that we do not accept a bracha of ha'etz, even b'dieved, on such a fruit. Now, we'll come back a little bit later, there's time here to some of the parameters of suffik brachas l'hakel in this context, but what do we have so far? If it has to be replanted, or even if it doesn't have to be replanted, but the stem has to regenerate every year, so far, what do we have? We have bari priha dama. Okay, yeah, Jake, quick question?
Isn't it, if you say ha'dama on a fruit, it's, you don't have to make a bracha, but
correct. Here we're talking about a situation where you're going the other way. Good. Okay. Next. Let's say you have a banana tree or a pineapple tree. Okay? Anyone know how those work?
No, pineapple tree. Pineapple's not dumb. It's like it's a weird thing. It's not
really a tree. Okay, so obviously it's not really a tree. That's why you make it dumb. What does it mean it's not really a tree?
Right.
So this is, sometimes it may have to do with the height. We'll come back to the height, how high it grows from the ground in a little while. But some fruits, like the banana, like the pineapple, not only do you have, like we said before, shrushim, roots that remain underneath the ground from year to year, these plants have roots that even grow above the ground and remain from year to year. Okay? But if you've ever seen a banana tree, beyond those roots that remain from year to year, that do protrude from the ground, there's another stalk that regenerates every year, but then withers and has to be regrown each year. Okay, the chop over here, again, we're going step by step, is that even though the shrushim now are above the ground, who cares if the shrushim are above the ground, the more that this is something which has some identity, not subterranean. What's the opposite of subterranean? Extraterranean? I don't know. Okay, probably not. But the more that it has an identity that exists above ground, the closer we may identify it with a tree, because the produce is not growing from the ground directly. Afal pichin, the fact that the primary stem upon which the fruits grow has to be regenerated every year, even though some of the roots remain above the ground, it still remains adama. In this category as well is a strawberry. Okay, sesame also. Anyone know what a strawberry plant looks like? What's that?
Sesame not allowed in camp.
Sesame not allowed in camp. That is correct. Okay. Has any, if you would just like eat the seeds, right? If you just eat the seeds, correct. If you just eat the seeds, it would be hadama. Okay. Has anyone ever seen a strawberry plant?
Yes.
You have. Okay. So for those of you who haven't seen one, I'm going to show you.
I went courage picking right before the Israel.
Okay.
I'm in strawberry.
Okay. Here is a picture of a strawberry plant. Okay. Now it's pretty clear that even though that stuff may again stay above ground over the, you know, from year to year, it doesn't resemble a tree. Okay. At least by our Lashem and Adam standards. Not that that's the determining factor, but just so you have a picture of what that looks like. Okay. But the primary stem upon which it grows apparently has to be regenerated from year to year, even though some of the plant still remains above ground. Okay? Okay, so we're still in Hadama territory. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about strawberries. Let me read to you what he says, just a line or two. hapazimkas. Okay, that's a term that's used in the poskim. Heim kemo ha-strawberries. Samach tes reish alav beis ein reish ein samach. Strawberries. Aketanim mehem. Ogedelim besoch ha-yaros al-asavim. They grow in the forest, in the wild, on asavim. Not grass necessarily, but on these low plants. Umavarach ma'alehem al-strawberries bar pri adama. Okay, so he passed and make adama on those types of berries. That's Archaim Chelk Alf Simon Pevav. Fine. Now there's an interesting discussion as we go one step further when it comes to the papaya tree. Papaya tree is a controversy that's been around for a couple hundred years, and the reason why the papaya tree is a little confusing is because now we're already talking about something where the primary stalk does remain from year to year. Okay, right? That's where we drew the line. The strawberry was at the primary stalk. The banana has to be regenerated. Once you talk about the papaya does maintain its geza, its trunk from year to year. But the leaves fall off on an annual basis when the pre has been produced. And then in the next season, it starts all over again and new leaves come as the, in advance of the fruits. What's that? No, I think you're thinking of like the blossoms. Sometimes the blossoms that precede the fruit, right? But here the leaves. So apparently when it comes to fruit trees, that's not necessarily the case. When you're thinking about the autumn, yeah? So all the leaves fall from the trees.
Is it apple trees?
But I'm sorry, we're talking about the branches. The branches, correct. Okay, the branches fall off and then they're regrown when the fruit is regrown in the following season. Okay, so papayas like that, eggplants apparently are like that as well. So the Radbaz, quoted by the Tshuva Zerah Pollan, writes as follows. He says,
sorry about that. Okay.
So he quotes the Tosefta, and the Tosefta says that anytime the peros of a specific fruit, of a specific tree, start growing already in the first year of the tree, that is an indication that it's a yerek. Okay? It's a yerek. It's a vegetable. Okay? So one of the characteristics of a vegetable is that immediately in the same season in which you plant it, it already produces fruit. And a papaya tree is like that as well. And apparently an apple tree, it can take longer than the first season for the apples, for the fruits to be produced. Okay, so that's one reason why the papaya tree is considered a possible hadama. Okay, and this discussion of papaya tree actually doesn't start so much with the bracha of ha'etz or hadama, but rather takes us into the realm of Yoredeya. What other nafkamina, which you guys should be familiar with, learning our sugyas, you're getting there, warm, okay?
Orla,
right? The question of whether something is a fruit or a vegetable, even more important than the question of a bracha, the rabbanon can always be motzi by eating something else, to cover the brachas. When it comes to the shaila of orla, so orla is an issa d'oraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, orla is an issa d'oraisa. First 3 years that the fruit is produced on that tree. It's only the rabbanon chazar. Good. Okay, hold on 1 second. Good. So there are some who argued that many papaya growers claim that the entire lifespan of a tree is 3 years. And the reason for that is because apparently as the papaya tree continues to grow from year to year, once you get to the third year, the fruits become lower and lower quality. And therefore it's worthwhile for the papaya growers to knock down, to cut off all the trees once they hit that point of 3 years and replant. So unlike earlier when we spoke about crops where naturally it has to regenerate, here they deliberately cut down the tree before it gets to 3 years or after the three-year point in order that they can start all over again and this time have a more productive fruit. As a matter of fact, there's a tshuva from the OU, from Rebelsky. After the discussion of papaya, there's also a question of raspberries. Read to you from a tshuva by Rebelsky, written in 1997. Elon Raspberry. I think in Hebrew they call raspberry petal. Yeah? He says as well. Yeah. B'shana rishona yesh lo k'tas peiros. The first year of a raspberry plant, it has some fruit. B'shana shnia yesh lo harbi peiros. The full crop really comes in the second year. V'akak mishmai v'alach, and then it's all downhill from there. V'alkein ha'chaklaim, the farmers, koftitzin ra'ilam acher shana shnia, after the second year of the fruit, of the raspberry crop, they cut down the trees. Maschilim pa'bachares, and they replant it. V'imkein hu l'chora orla. So Rebelsi says that means that every raspberry out there has to be orla, right? Because it's only making it for 2 years. After 2 years, they're chopping down the trees and they're planting new ones. So explains Rebelsi, Aval ha'olam somkum ala achronim she'ilam shli agila shon revias ein bo isra orla. So why do people eat raspberries? So it could be because there are some opinions who hold that that a tree that never makes it to the fourth year is exempt from the whole principle of Arla. Chazanish, I think, holds like that. And that's one of the reasons why the Chazanish is quoted in support of being matir papayas. That's what emerges from his words. Because if it doesn't last long enough to be subject to the end of the Arla process in the fourth year, so maybe the Isra of Arla doesn't apply. Now, even if not everyone agrees to that, here's the catch. Okay, in Chutz Aretz, even if not everyone agrees to that principle, that if it doesn't make it 3 years, it's not subject to the rules of Arla. However, what we didn't get to in the Gemara and Kedushin yet is a principle that Orlas Chutz La'aretz, okay, Orlan Chutz La'aretz, right, Halach Mosh Me'Sinai, claims Rabbanan, Orlan Chutz La'aretz is Halach Mosh Me'Sinai, Safik Orlan Chutz La'aretz is Mutter. Okay, even though Orla is still Daraisa, but a Safik, normally we say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, part of the Halach Mosh Me'Sinai of observing Orla in Chutz La'aretz is that even a Safik is Mutter. So as long as you have a machlokas harona whether or not this raspberry should be okay, that would be enough to be make automatically. Likewise, Rubelsky said that when it comes to the papaya tree, if there's even a minority of papaya trees out there that make it past the third year, that means the papaya you're eating is a suffik or less chutzlaritz and it's mutter. Okay, but even without that, Ravad Yosef and others made a clear determination based on earlier sources as well that the papaya is for sure Ahadama, and therefore it's considered like a yarek. And even in Eretz Yisrael, you could eat a papaya and not be subject to the rules of Orla. Okay? What's that? Okay. So basically what we did is we covered all of our Hadamas. Okay, so what are we left with? We're left with everything else. Everything else should be Ahaetz. Right? Seder? Now, good. So let's summarize. What are the qualifications for Bari Priya Eitz? To be 100% uncontested Bari Priya Eitz, to be a Min Ilan, so if the branches stay on the tree and the stem, the trunk of the tree, remain from year to year and produce fruits from year to year, so even if the stalk happens to be a weak one, right? It doesn't have to be like a tree. We think about a tree trunk, you're talking about like a nice, gesund, hard piece of wood that grows, you know, and gets wider and wider, a new ring every single year. That's not necessarily true. Even if it's a more fragile and brittle type of stem, as long as it makes it from year to year, and the branches make it from year to year, then it is a bar of grades. And that, indeed, would seem to be the metzias when it comes to a blueberry. Anyone ever go blueberry picking? Asked before?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so let me show you a picture of some blueberry picking, for those of you who haven't seen it. Okay. See the chevra? Okay. All right. So this is in Vermont.
Is he taking a picture? Okay. Are you taking a picture?
No, that's Baruch holding his collection of blueberries. Okay. And you can see those are gesund plants. Those, you know, those are serious bushes. Okay. All right. Seems like a pretty stark eats. Okay. We'll come back to these pictures in a second because there are some nafkaminas. That's a strawberry plant, by the way. Just a little more detail of what's above ground, what's below ground. So what's left to discuss when it comes to the blueberry? This should be an open shut case, right? It follows all the prerequisites that we mentioned. So the answer is that the Mishnah Berurah quotes something from the Achronim, a minhag. The Mishnah Berurah suggests a reason for this minhag. We'll get to that in a second. Which would nonetheless shift us in the direction of Hadama, even though the blueberry plant and other plants like it seem to meet all the qualifications. Here we go. Mishnah Berurah, this is Siman Reish Gimel, the end of Sifkan Gimel. Peirosh gedalim al ilanos katanos. Fruits that grow on smaller, lower down to the ground ilanos, shrubbery. Af shegavon pachz mishlosh tzvachim. Kemo yagdash shechorim. Okay, these berries that grow beneath three tzvachim. What's three tzvachim? How big is three tzvachim? Somewhere that this is an amma, okay? Tavach is a fist, okay? It's somewhere between 3 and 4 inches, okay? A chalok is a post somewhere between 3 and 4 inches. So let's say under a foot, under 9 inches. So there is a minhag ha'olam, which says acha olam nogim levarach bori pri adama. Berries that grow below that level are an automatic adama, even if they match up according to all the other time, all the other conditions that would make it a bari pri eitz. Now, can you think of a svara? Why? What's three tefach? Who cares about three tefach? Why should that be a determining factor?
Isn't that considered like part of the ground?
Oh, so what's that called? What's that called?
Isn't that like called sukkah?
Sukkah? Sukkah. We learned it last year. Beautiful. Love it. There's a lach mashum Sinai of lovud. That three tefachim is considered, even if there is a physical gap between one thing and another, say from the ground to the bottom of a machitza that's being installed for a sukkah or whatever it may be, it's less than three tefachim. Love it means we close the gap. It's as if the gap is not there. Halacha Mishmar Sinai. So perhaps Mishmar Berurah explains, after the time of the lochashivi kol kach peri. It's something which is mamash like on the ground, like that strawberry plant. You saw the strawberry plant? It's mamash like on the ground. So from people's perceptions, that was not treated as a fruit from a tree. And we look at it more of as a plant. It's bori pri adama. That's the suggestion the Mishnah Berurah has to explain why the minhag was. Beneath three tefachim, we can consider a bori pri adama, not a ha'itz. Okay? So, as far as I'm concerned, we look at those pictures. What do you think the status of a blueberry plant is? Yeah, so I think that, right, so that's a function, fair enough, that's a function, take a look at this picture, that's a function of maybe how much each particular plant happens to grow. But look at that, I mean, Baruch's not that small, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So that's significant height, at least as far as these bushes are concerned. Very hard to claim that it generally grows beneath tefachim. Now, I think the source of confusion and why people sometimes say that you should make adama on blueberries, even though at this point that's not our conclusion. Rav Bodner writes as follows in his sefer. Unlike cranberries talk is a shiloh. Cranberries, we'll come back to that in a minute. Blueberries commonly available in America. Vaccinium corumbosum. Okay, the packaged blueberries one purchases in a supermarket grow on tall bushes and thus require bar priates. Wild blueberries, however, grow on bushes, which are often lower than 9 inches. If one picks blueberries from low wild blueberry bushes, he should make a bar priadam. So according to that minhag ha'olam that the Mishnah Berurah quoted, if it's like a wild blueberries, so then those apparently have bushes which don't reach that high and would only require adam and not heights.
It's generally
right. Correct. The ones that Mr. Bernstein brings here from the supermarket are ha'etz. Unlike cranberries,
he grows them here, or somewhere he grows them.
He buys them in the city and puts them in the fridge in the baking room.
I think he used to actually grow them.
Is that right?
Not like
probably
in the garden.
He has a garden. He does have a garden.
Not. I know. They come in the.
Tax. We'll ask him next Shabbos. Okay. So hold on 1 second. Cranberries tak grow very low to the ground. Okay. Now. Truth is, it's not so easy to. Fresh cranberries are not so easy to eat, but we have craisins. We're probably going to make on a craisin.
Don't they grow cranberries in water?
They're in bogs, right. But they're still rooted in the ground. Okay, but the question is, how high do they get from the ground? So they sort of float in the water. Right? So cranberries, he writes, cranberries grow on creeping vines which grow along the ground. Although the plant produces fruit year after year, nevertheless, since cranberries grow within 9 inches of the ground, its bracha is bari pri adama. Okay? So Rav Bodner is working with the minhag ha'olam that one makes adama. Shlomo Zalman is also working with that assumption. The new Dishna Mishnah Berurah is a quote from Rabbi Yashiv as follows. He says that even according to the Minhag HaOlam, what did the Mishnah Berurah say was the reason behind the Minhag HaOlam? Because it gives you the impression, it's the appearance of a plant. It's not a pre. It looks like it's just like shrubbery that grows on the ground. Zakr Bal Yashiv came into Megadlim Chamutzios. L'Ruvavos, there is a multi-billion-dollar worldwide market for cranberries that people eat. That's a fruit. It's not just like some shrubbery that grows on the ground that shouldn't be given that same status, even in the perception of the average individual. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Rabbi Yashiv says it should be treated as a Bari Priya Eitz, even according to that Minhag HaOlam. Okay? Let's just wrap it up in a second. It should be noted that despite the fact that the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Minhag HaOlam, he does have the Magen Avraham who disagrees. And contemporary poskim also have questioned whether or not this minhag is actually something that we should adhere to, or perhaps the minhag is not should not carry weight to begin with. I seem to remember Rav Shechter being of the opinion that in conversation with him that we do not follow this minhag olam. Happened to come across a number of years ago, there was a Star K newsletter, not dealing with the Bracha of Shahakal at all, but just as we were able to bridge into the sugya of Orla, what would be another nafkamina of Osai between determining if something is a fruit or a vegetable, a tree versus in the ground? Where else do we need a tree in halacha? Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Berachas Ilanos. Can you say Berachas Ilanos on a blueberry patch? Rav Heinemann said yes. That was a Nissan.
Ashkenazim?
No, Ashkenazim do as well. Not everyone does, but Ashkenazim certainly have it as well.
Why doesn't
Good question. Not for now. He says you can make the bracha on a blueberry plant. So I would just say, the plant, let's say the blueberry, was beneath three tefachim, one could argue that the minhag only was stated regarding the bracha. Okay, we don't know that the minhag also had bearing on the Brachos Ilanos. We'd have to do more research and understanding where the minhag comes from. Not our topic of discussion. Something I'm going to throw out there, which is definitely not for now, but Rav Shlomo Zalman does have a tshuva regarding genetically engineered plants where, and this exists, you can grow a tomato on a tree. Okay? Meaning you could graft the cells of the tomato or any other vegetable, let's say, that would work, and put them into a tree. Yeah. Okay, good. So the question is, what does that mean for the bracha? Is it a haetz or is it a dhamma? So Shlomo Zalman is of the opinion that that's still haetz, sorry. And if it's grown from a cheftz of an eitz, even if it's a cheftz of a vegetable, okay, you still make a bari priya haetz. Okay? Because it all goes based on how it grew. Almost there for you guys, okay? Last thing I want to close, okay? Final point, then we'll take questions. We mentioned at the beginning that sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you're not sure exactly what the bracha is, and you may have haetz versus hadama, and the psak is savak brachas l'haka. So the Mishnah Berurah in three different places, and Tversky went to point out that the Rishonim seem to indicate like this in brachas. What does that brachas l'haka mean? You tell me. You go to the canteen, and they have some chips there, okay? And you're not sure if the chips are shakal or the hadama. Pringles are a big shiloh. Okay, good. So let's say you end up making a shahakal on your Pringles. Okay? And you take a bite. So now what? Now what do you do? So you know, it's right. Savik brachas l'hakel means, could be the right brachas hadama, but savik brachas l'hakel will, on the assumption, although, again, the shakal is not really a good example. It should be better if you made the hadama, right? Sorry, you made the hadama, because a shakal covers it anyway. Sorry, right? You made the hadama, so continue eating, right? Because savik brachas l'hakel means, could be it's hadama, could be it's shakal. So it's a din d'rabbanan, savik brachas l'hakel, continue eating. That's what I would have said also. However, listen to this quotation of the Chai Adam about a person who makes a bari priya eitz, and maybe they're supposed to make a bari priya hadama. Masik HaChai Adam. Listen. Masik HaChai Adam Menachem L'chatzichu Shebarachlem Bari Priya Adama. Ubedyeved, if I made a bari priya eitz, Yochal Rak Ma'at Kedei Shlo Tisbatel HaBracha V'lo Yoser. If you made a ha'eitz, and this is not clear Is it Adam or Eitz? He says, have a little bit so your bracha is not a bracha latala, velo yoser.
Whoa.
Right, meaning stop, take a little bite, so your yotze is not a bracha latala, but who says you're allowed to eat more, right? Suffolk brachas lahaka means that, okay, you don't have to make a brand new bracha, we won't consider a bracha latala, but it doesn't mean that it's like a wholesale license to go and have a whole meal based on the pot, because what's a 50-50 chance that you didn't make any bracha correctly on the food that you're eating, and you're going to have a whole suda on the pretense of thinking that's what the correct bracha is, and in reality you didn't make a bracha at all, okay? And Rav Moshe Feinstein says that in Tshuva, let me read to one line, Birach mezonos al davar shebrachos shahakol, you make a mezonos on something that's a shahakol. Okay? So with the exception of water and salt, okay, the chayadim brings that mezonos b'dieved works on anything. It's very interesting, right? We're used to knowing shahakol works b'dieved on everything. Mishabura quotes from the chayadim that mezonos, because right, mazon, anything that's nourishing, and the Gemara says the only thing that's not nourishing is water and salt. Okay, everything else, with the evid, mezonos works.
How is water not nourishing and salt? I mean, you need those to live.
No, but that's not mazon in the definition of halacha. Okay, mikol makom nirli es daiti, Dr. Moshe Feinstein, shelo yochal al bracha mezonos el rakhaticha ketana. Whatever's normal to put in your mouth at one time, velo yoser, not more. Because you're only yoser b'di'eved, v'chol pama rehu chayav achar b'abracha. Ein lelecha mashi yoser rak b'di'eved. Right, so now, again, I think the minig is, and Mishnah Berurah indicates that in other places, that once you make the bracha, you can go you know, straight from there. But l'chora, and my just literally the final thought, L'chora, what this has to do with is whether or not the concept of Sarek Brachas L'Hakel means that there's a Hachra'a. What do I mean Hachra'a? Meaning that could be like this, could be like that. And we're Machria, that the appropriate way to act is not to make another Bracha, because you might be making another Bracha and it'll be taking Hashem's name in vain. It'll be Bracha Vatal to make another Bracha. Okay. Or the Pshat is no. Sarek Brachas L'Hakel, Chazal Paskin, you are Yotze with that Bracha. Sarek Brachas L'Hakel means that the bracha you made is good. Not that the bracha you made might be good, and it's better than making a new bracha, which could be, you know, a violation of taking Hashem's name in vain. And Rav Moshe seems to take the more machmir approach, suggesting that there isn't a psak that you made the right bracha, but rather you're still in limbo, and therefore better not to eat any further. But again, there's indication in other places in the Mishnah Berurah that one can be mekel, seems to be a machlokas amongst the achronim. And with that, we will take it... take a few questions.